Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now our hostesses, Jen and Sherry.
Hello and welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. I am Jen Halterman, one of your hostesses, and Sherry will be joining me shortly. It's a Monday with Sherry on the show. How great is that? Very excited to be able to have her here. Since I have been taking a break from Tuesday shows, which is usually when she's on with me, we had to do a little switcheroo, and so I am thankful for the times that she can come on, especially when we just get to talk about what's on our mind. We had a big weekend, awesome weekend, actually, and we ourselves had just a really great awarenesses coming up, and just the opportunity to get curious about what's going on in our lives. And I love that aspect of our relationship and our life, and it is a choice that we make. And so as we get into this topic, I invite you to just be in a space of curiosity. If that means that when you notice you go into restriction or tightness, just return to curiosity by doing a simple thing as going, where you allow that curiosity to vibrate through your mouth, through your ears, through your skull, and just return you to curiosity so you can stay out of restriction. Because there's a lot that you can receive from this show as long as you're open to it. So welcome to the show. Super excited about this topic. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about, and I'm thankful to have Sherry with me. So welcome to the show, Sherry. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking me. It's always nice when I have a bonus day to be with you on the airwaves. So, and I'm really excited. I'm curious and very excited to talk about this even more with you, because I think feedback is real important. And, you know, so sometimes we have it in our life and aren't real happy about it, and sometimes it really can – it's a game changer. So I'm really glad that this week's topic is about this. So we can dive in, you can dive in, and just really take – look at it from all angles. So thank you.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So for those of you who, if you are new to inner work or self-help or, you know, making changes in your life, or whether you're old school and you're like, I've been doing this since the 70s and da-da-da, I invite you to be open to just different possibilities and different perspectives as they come up today, because feedback has been approached so many different ways over the years that I've spoken to people that still, you know, I've known them for years, and still, even today on the Periscope I did talking about it, you know, somebody responded that makes them pucker. And that's just her lingo for she goes into a fear and some resistance comes up. Other people, they get angry about feedback. Other people, they get really scared. And so some of that comes through the modality that we've received training from, to be quite honest, and some of it comes from my childhood. So we're gonna get into this and look at it from many different aspects. Wednesday, I did want to mention Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about the Akashic Record readings that I do about, and what it is. The Akashic Records are the energetic record of time, space, and possibility. And so when I read somebody's Akashic Records, it is glimpsing not only their soul profile so they can remember who they are on a divine level, not just based on this life or what job they have or whatever that is, but a divine level, what makes them who they are and what are their gifts and abilities. But we also look at some of the restrictions and the blocks that are in the way that they can clear. And then we get into the feedback of this lifetime and the practices that are going on. And so that's what Wednesday's show is going to be about. I'm going to dive specifically in to that topic. So if you are interested in that, I just want to put that out there so you would know what Wednesday's about and you could choose to join, because that is going to be, I have not talked about this particular aspect of my work publicly on a show. And so I just wanted to let you know that's going to be happening, and that way you spread the word if you have people.
who are interested. Yeah? That's very exciting. That's awesome. I didn't know that. So I'm going to have to listen to the archives because I'll be working, darn it. I just love that work that you do and just your passion about it. And I look forward to listening.
Thank you. But
you're
today
welcome.
I want to start with where we have both come from and where we are. Let's both dial the clock back a bit. Let's go glimpse it. We don't have to get back in it, but let's glimpse the past. And think back to, say, 6 months up until, even a year. 6 months to a year before your first experience of inner work. Can you do that? Can you dial that back? I knew that was weird. Like, frunk. Time travel, there I was, yep.
Yeah, you go first. I think I have it. But
okay.
If you wouldn't mind, I do have it. Yeah,
okay, great.
I'm there.
So the reason I wanted us to do that is because I want to give a real honest reflection of our relationships with feedback because they're so different. So here's mine. When I flash back, this was before I met Dr. Dyer, okay? This is before I started doing his books and his work and studying and reading and before Jack Canfield came into my life as more than just an author, The Chicken Soup for the Soul, before any of that, before I even met Megan Sillitoe. And what I immediately went to was just a time in my life. I was very busy mom, very busy. 4 kids. And I was homeschooling them. And then I drop in, what was my relationship with feedback? Okay, so let me explain. My relationship with feedback at that point in time was absolute defense. So the feedback that I consider is maybe my kids challenged me, maybe my kids were giving me feedback that they weren't learning a topic in the homeschooling we were doing. Maybe they were giving a feedback that they had attitudes and teenage issues. I was in so much resistance and refusal of being less than the matriarch of the family that I would react to that very sternly. Don't you dare challenge me. Don't talk back, blah, blah, blah. The household that I was a part of, a very patriarchal household, and when, husband was around, I had to be the head of the household. So it was that, it was just so old school, very religion-based and very structured and very right, wrong, and judgment and all of that. And so when the kids would challenge me, in even as simple as homeschooling, at that point, it reflected that I wasn't a good mom. I took it to mean that I wasn't good enough. I took it to mean, no, I can't let you take too big of a risk because if you fail, it'll look bad on not only me, but your dad and the entire family. And then it'll look bad on the entire structure of homeschooling. And then, so I really gave a damn about what other people think. And when I received feedback from, here's another aspect of feedback that came as in, you are so pretty. Gosh, your husband's so lucky. I would shrink and, oh, thank you. Thanks. You're so sweet. Oh, no. Don't say that. I feel uncomfortable. I can't receive that. And I would literally avoid people that complimented me too much. I even added too much. How does that feel? And so that's where I was, okay? Now that was my relationship with feedback before I started doing inner work, okay? So that's mine.
Okay, Sherry, how about you? I'm just kind of, before I got to hearing feedback, what it was for me is I'm tooling along, early 20s maybe, or mid-20s, and there was this cool shop that opened or had been open that I found out about that was earth-based or pagan religion or spirituality, not religion. And I was very drawn to that, and it really blew my spirituality wide open. But so everything was, it doesn't feel right to say spiritually override that I was in, but I was just exploring my spirituality and, you know, energies and all that. Well, I, you know, that was a stepping stone for me. And I go into work with a couple counselors and, you know, looking at childhood stuff. Feedback, I was defensive when I would get feedback. Well, you want to look at this issue about your parents, you know, you need to look at everything around it. And I refuse, you know, I refuse to take a look at, you know, I got defensive when they say, well, what about this? I'm like, oh, it can't be that way, you know, respect your parents. So I would go into that override of that, you know, I want to take all responsibility. That's just my personality. And we don't, you know, I've learned since then that we don't do that. So I started out with some counselors, and then I went into a really intensive program up in Illinois and, you know, became, you know, a volunteer for that. And we really looked at feedback. And that's when I, you know, started playing more with feedback and accepting feedback like you. My gosh, if someone said I was pretty, there was an exercise we did, and I had to stand and really, you know, receive compliments, and I about puked. I wanted to bolt through the door. I couldn't, whether it was good or it was, hey, what about this awareness? It was always a struggle for me, and through that program, I was able to stand and receive it. And, and after that program, staying in that program was really good. I was in weekly groups where we held each other accountable and heard feedback, and I was really open. And, you know, the cool thing about that is when you have someone in a group setting or you have support around you and you set your intention for the group, you know, we were open to receive feedback. And, you know, we didn't get to talk about, well, say, you know, well, this is what I think about your feedback. It was just, thank you for your feedback. And that was such a powerful thing. I wrote that down as something I wanted to share even later as we talk about it. But thanking a person for that feedback, and that was a big lesson that I learned. And did it stay with me? No, it didn't. You know, we're always evolving, and we practice things. We practice things that work in our life, and you know that's one of the things that I didn't continue practicing, and it has shown up in my life again. After that, being in Illinois and volunteering, I slowly evolved out of that and went to a counselor. I remember I had this great counselor, and by golly, if she says, I'm going to give you some feedback. This is the dynamic that we're working on, and we need to really take a look at this. And it involves your mom. And I basically cussed her out. I got the system. So that's my trigger, and I know it. And I am becoming more and more aware of that trigger and just receiving that, receiving both an observation, awareness, feedback, and just sitting with it. I really loved what you said is like, you know, when someone says something, it's just making that vibration. And what I've noticed that I've been doing is just breathing into it. And I think all the things that you're going to share or we're going to share will help people really hopefully have a different perception about feedback, how to give and receive. Cool. Thank you for all that. You're welcome. So before you went into that program, 6 months to a year before you went into that program, what was your relationship with feedback? It was awful. I mean, it was, I would be defensive. I couldn't take compliments. I couldn't receive. I wasn't able to receive fully compliments. I felt very judged by when people would give me feedback, like I wasn't doing things right. Work-related, personal life, well, I guess I'm doing it wrong. That's where I went to a victim, very much a victim. I'm not good enough, all of those things. Yeah. Well, how can I do it better? You know, I don't even know if that came across my mind. I just saw it was, you know, good, bad, right, wrong. Very black and white thinking.
Very conclusion-based. Right. Yeah, which is why I really wanted to talk about that from the very beginning, is where we both started from in that space of not being open to feedback and not being curious about it, instead going to judgment and conclusion, going to whether we were right or wrong about it, that every piece of feedback was something to fight against. And I really wanted to go there to start the show because I want people to recognize within yourself, is there an area that you're not open to feedback? And I don't care if the answer is everywhere. I have no judgment about if it's everywhere. If it's like I receive feedback about my business, I receive feedback about my children, but boy, you come in and you give me feedback about my husband or my body, I will kick your ass. I will come out swinging. Just be curious about, like, oh, I'm pretty good at feedback at this, but unless it comes from my mother, and then all hell's going to break loose. Like, where is it that you're open to feedback, and where are you not? Not from a place of judgment, just awareness. Because it's not the feedback that is the gift. That's not where the show is about practicing curiosity with feedback. Yes, you can be curious about the feedback you get, about is there feedback that you would like to change, but what is your reaction to feedback? That's where today I want to invite you to add some curiosity to your life. Why are you more explosive when it comes to feedback from your mother? Why do you only react horribly and go, you know, lose all of your words, all of your presence when it comes to feedback about your business? Why is it that you get so insecure when it's feedback about your relationship? That when you get curious about your reaction to the feedback, you can actually change your life. To me, is where the most power of curiosity is applied. Okay? Because let me be really clear here. Feedback is just results from something, an experiment, a choice, a decision. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just getting results back from whatever it was that was applied. There is no right or wrong about it. You know, getting feedback that a ball bounces is no more correct or right or good or bad than if the ball hits the ground and doesn't bounce. It's just feedback. It's what your expectations and attachment are to that feedback and how we misapply it to our worth and value that we screw ourselves up one side and down the other. And God bless the sucker that delivered that feedback to you, because most of the time they get shredded or you disappear on them or they're dumbfounded. Now, I'm not saying everybody gives neutral feedback. I do know that people give really harsh opinions and they love being mean and all that. But honestly, what your reaction is to them is where you have the power, because you have choice in how you react and respond and whether you align and agree. That's where your judgment goes in and goes crazy with it and staying open in curiosity. So notice where you have judgment about what is said, how it's said, who said it, where it came from. Notice all those places. And are you willing to be more curious about your reaction to all of that than the conclusion that that brings up in your awareness or your mind? Okay? Mm-hmm. That, to me, is where the magic is. Because mm-hmm. as Sherry shared, when you start into the inner work world of any kind, you start getting this thing about get responsible for your life. What did you create? Get accountable, on and on. In fact, I turned around. I'm sitting here. I'm listening to Sherry talk about her program, and I turn around and pull out one of my original books of my transformation off the shelf. It's still sitting here, and it's not even the original because I had to get another one because somebody had the audacity to jack my book. Ah, no pun intended, since it's Jack Canfield's book. But it's called The Success Principles, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And this book has a very simple formula in it. And this, I wrote this on, in fact, on my pieces of paper that were on my wall, I had it all over everywhere. E plus R equals O. That was it. That's all I'd write. And what it stands for is event plus response equals outcome. So think about it. You have an event. You can't always control the event. Sometimes you plan the event. Sometimes you contribute to the event, whatever it is. And then there's a response, and that's what equals the outcome, which is the feedback, by the way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have control over? In that formula, where's your power? It's in your response.
Yeah.
It's in your response. An event. You have choice over your response, so you are contributing to the outcome. That's where you have power, which is why when you go to my book, it's all over the place and highlighted. And, you know, you can blame the event for your lack of results, or instead simply change your response to the event, the way things are, until you get the outcome you want. Like, right there in that book was easy peasy for me to reference because I've, you know, kind of worn it down. I know where that is. My fingers know where it is in the book. It's in every training there is. And some trainings, I'm not going to lie, some inner work trainings, they are kind of abusive with their feedback teachings. And they take the approach of break it down so we can build you up the way we want you. And some are very dismissive about feedback. So it's not always about the program, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But it's how are you applying it to your life now? What's going on with your life today, and how are you applying your conclusions to what's going on in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think for me, curiosity is what came up for this. Not only that, during a card reading I did on my Periscope, the question that came up from the cards, the inquiry cards today is, what am I curious about? I love that. I was like,
I love it.
That's cute. What am I curious? Apparently today I'm curious about feedback. There it was in the cards too. But
mm-hmm.
what I sense, what I get is based on my response. I mean, honestly, when I went into my inner work groups and trainings and all of that, feedback was scary. I was scared because it was when you're in a training and you're trying to change how you do everything because you want to change your life and you're that committed to it. There's no, I'm going to kind of half-ass do my homework. Oh, no. You've got an assignment. You're going to show up. They're going to ask you about it. You're going to show your homework. I mean, this is an intensive training. I did 9 months, and I did it twice, for heaven's sakes. I had fear around the feedback because if I didn't follow through and the feedback came, I was doing it wrong. And it just kind of repeated the way my mentality was with the world of religion. If I don't do it right, then I'm doing it wrong. Those are the only two options. It wasn't the world of possibility that I live in now, that there are so many different perspectives and so many different possibilities to come up. It's just one teeny tiny interesting point of view is all that feedback is based on. do I want to apply it or do I not relate to it and let it go? That's up to me. But you see, too many people focus on that piece. What did they say? What did he do? How did she act? Did she give you that look? And they focus on that external instead of, oh my gosh, every single time somebody looks at me out of the corner of their eye, my gut drops. I don't know what that's about. Mm-hmm. I want to get curious about that. See, that's where the magic of feedback is. It's in what is it I'm actually reacting to? Because if the person showed up, if it's a tone of voice, and if I notice, if I'm curious, I'll notice, okay? If I'm rigid, I won't notice this. But let me just explain this. I've got a friend that if I say her name in a certain way, she says her butt puckers. Like, she's like, every time, if I say her name in a certain way, she freaks out. And I can remember literally not being upset, not just wanting to be really clear, because it was one of those things where I knew she wasn't listening to me. She was reacting. She was responding before I finished questions. And I said her name to try to, as an attempt to bring her to be present with me. And she freaked out so bad because the tone of voice that I used in saying her name. Well, then I started using that tone with her when I would give her a compliment, and she would freak out the same way. And that's mm-hmm. how we broke through that barrier of, no, Jen, you're being mean, and got curious about her response. Because when her response was the same no matter what, we got to figure out what was it about that tone of voice that she was taking to mean that she was bad and wrong. Because it really wasn't about me. That's where curiosity takes us if we allow it. She got really curious about it. She went all the way back, and she was like, oh, that's my self-worth programming right there. And it came through a tone of voice. So she was responding, reacting to all feedback that came through that tone of voice. It also had to do with the note that I was coming through.
It was the tonal vibe. Yeah, it was a tonal vibration. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a tonal vibration she was reacting to, not the words out of my mouth.
Well, I have to jump in here. I remember when I yeah. first met you, we were hanging out, and I was so programmed, I was, and on guard, and my gosh, I don't know, you'll remember it more, but you snapped my fingers, and I came unglued. I came unglued. And you know, now you can snap your fingers, and I don't jump, baby. You know, mm-hmm. it took a while to unprogram that. I mean, and I think feedback is that way too. If you have I have had a program with feedback, and it's how I react to it, which is defensive or not take the good compliment in, or receive the compliment or receive any kind of feedback, I can get triggered by it. That finger snapping thing, that was pretty powerful. It was. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, because that goes along with what you're saying with your friends. I know what that feels like. I wanted to throw up. I wanted to run. I think we were out in nature or something, and I wanted to bolt. I wanted to bolt.
You almost did. Yeah, so let me paint this scenario, because it is a brilliant example. Thank you for bringing it up, Sherry, because here we are. We're out in nature. Out here where we live, there's Cibolo Nature Center. We met out there. We went walking along the path one day, and nobody was upset. We were just really just not even talking about a heavy topic. We were just kind of da 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 da. And we went back to the parking lot. We were going to go our separate ways, and I just simply said, just like that. Simple. Snap my fingers. Just like that. And you
snapped really loud,
like,
too.
Yeah. I don't know if you can even hear that on the phone lines. That's funny.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. As soon as that happened, your pupils dilated, you pulled your head back, and you literally turned your body as if to run, like you were in danger. It was as if I had a gun pointed at you, and you had to get as far away from me as you could. And I was like, what's going on? And you said, what? I don't like that. Don't do that. I said, what? Snap my fingers? And me being, you know, completely clueless to the level of trauma that was going on, I snapped my fingers again. And you, and you're like, I got to go. I got to go. I'm like, Sherry, wait, what's happening? You know, and of course, I ask questions and you start answering them. And I said, okay, so I'm just going to do this. I'm not even going to say a word anymore. Just sit here and breathe. And I snapped my fingers a couple times. And by the third snap, you were in complete sobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just sobbing. And I just stood there and I was like, you're safe. It's okay. You're safe. Mm-hmm. And your system was so on guard, so on alert, that you felt attacked. You felt in danger. You had completely drained your adrenals. And I think it was at that point in time that you started getting really curious about what was going on, that you were on so, you were just living in a fight or flight state of being.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true. And I didn't even know it. I mean, a finger snap took me there. And, you know, saying,
right,
I'm so blessed that you were there to witness that and help me through that, because I had no idea. I had no idea.
Right.
I was that fight or flighty, whatever you call it.
Right. Right. Well, and that's the thing. And this is such a good example as to why it's not about what it is that we've made it about. So, you know, what is there? What, the direction I'm snapping my fingers is an attack on you? The tone of the snap is what I'm attacking.
Like that.
You know, instead of just focusing on you're throwing a rock when you snap your fingers, like there was nothing, you know. It was so benign. It was such a benign example that it opened you up to, why did I react that way? Why? You know, I don't know when it was, a while ago, we had that little, you know, that asshat, as I called him, call in on the show, and he was so determined and so angry that I was not going to give my show over to him on the airwaves, that as he was getting off the show, he blurted out, "You're a bitch." And I laughed hysterically. Well, let me tell you why. Back in the days of my inner work, one of the feedback pieces was, I was always being nice. I never spoke up. I was never direct. I never said anything I thought would hurt anybody's feelings, because I'd been trained to be nice and people-pleasing and blah, blah, blah. And we did some processes around it, and I can remember I was in a one-on-one session with a coach, and she said, what are you most afraid of? If you're not nice, what'll happen? And then she kept asking me questions, and then what, and then what, and then what? And the end result was that I was afraid people would think I was a bitch. And she's like, and what does that mean about you? And being a bitch in my mind, based on my upbringing, was that I was mean, I was abusive, people would be afraid of me, people would leave me, I would be unlovable, and I would be alone. So I was managing never being too bold. I know that's hard for some people to imagine right now. But I wouldn't laugh too much, and I wouldn't talk too loud, and I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be too spontaneous, and I wouldn't give direct feedback, and I wouldn't express my opinion. I might express a suggestion, but then I would always relent and, oh, but whatever you want, and, oh, I'm not really hungry. You decide where we're going to go eat. And it was such a manipulative way to make sure that I never came across as a strong, powerful woman, because a strong, powerful woman might be considered a bitch. And what that means to me was all those things that I said. But one of the things that I was definitely programmed with from, you know, really honestly a parental figure in my life was, if you are too strong and too outspoken, people will not like you and you will never be married. That was like my programming from teenage years, okay?
Wow.
Now I laugh.
Wow.
So if I had a strong opinion, it was bad. Okay, so I was, and bitch was like the trigger word. So I went through this whole program of what does that actually mean, and why am I afraid of that, and da da da. Until at the end, it was, I actually have this little persona where it's like, back off, bitch. And I'm proud of that kick-ass part of me of when, you know, it's like that part of me, that mama dragon that comes up if somebody's going to come and attack my kids, or that part of me that says, oh, no, not here, you don't. And I'm going to set boundaries, or I need to have very clear directions or something about that that is a safety feature. Oh, I will 100% own that I am wearing the boots to kick their ass if they don't honor my boundaries.
Mm-hmm,
that means
so
that they call me a bitch on my own radio show. I have no problem with that. Because if I'm not going to be the one that honors those boundaries first, who is? Whose job is it to honor my boundaries? And so I had to realize all the crap I had attached to the word bitch so that I could stop being, you know, a manipulative dish rag. Because that's truly the extreme I went to, trying to avoid it. Okay? And if I had gone to all the energy of, oh, I just don't like that word, I don't like cuss words, da-da-da, I could have made it all about the word instead of realizing I was trying to not be powerful and not be outspoken. And I'm here to tell you, everybody, if I had not done that work, I never would have done a radio show because I was so afraid I was afraid to speak my mind in a way that people would disagree with me. That just makes me laugh now.
I love it. I mean, that's such a great, thank you for sharing that. That's such a great example of everything that we talked about, and it's so true. You know, if I don't have a clear boundary, who's gonna have my back? Me. And it's not about being a bitch. It's just about, you know, taking responsibility in all aspects, taking responsibility for myself to have that clear communication and boundary.
Right.
And how it is perceived is just how it's perceived. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, you're welcome. Because one of the things that's really important is, I'm not talking about that I get to be a bitch and go inflict myself on everybody, but I do get to be a bitch that doesn't allow others to inflict themselves on me.
Mm-hmm. And bitch is just a word that people use to project. It's just a projection of insecurities. And when you use it, if I use the word bitch, it's how, you know, people understand that word. You know,
right.
When you say that word, people understand what that means.
Right. Yes, and what the feedback is to them is up to them how they're going to respond to it, right? Like, that's the whole thing. I can remember, I just remember being in a class, and this person attending the class stood up and walked up and tried to tell me it was just bullshit. He didn't want anything to have to do with it. He didn't have to participate. He didn't anything, on and on and on. And I can remember I was in an environment that I had safety, okay? So it was an environment that could have been dangerous, but I knew. I had all my boundaries in place. I had all of it. And so this person stood there, and I listened, and I said, well, that is up to you. You have that choice. And just so you know, I will keep my commitment with this program, which is if you don't participate and if you don't follow through, you will get reported. And this guy was like, you wouldn't dare report me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, well, I told you I would. It's up to you to try to challenge that or not. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sit down or are you going to leave the building? So he ended up sitting down in the back row, taking a little nap and all this stuff. He had no idea that I myself had such clear boundaries that all I needed to do was hit one send button on my phone, and there was going to be somebody behind a double-sided glass mirror thing that was going to be observing and recording the events. He had no respect for that. And when the class got over and the authorities were there to take him into custody, because that was the outcome of his choice, he turned and said, what have you done, you bitch? And I said, I kept my word. That's what I've done. And he was so wow. committed to being the victim of it that when I did go to court, which is what it ended up in, when I went to court, just say, yeah, that's what happened. And, you know, I let him go do the thing and da-da-da-da-da. And this guy was so ticked. Thankfully, in that moment, there was a judge there that, you know, He just sat there. He said, we're going to keep repeating this until you realize that you did this yourself. So they played the tape for him. They did all this stuff. And it took, this man was so not open to feedback and so in refusal and resistance to being responsible or taking any kind of accountability for his life. It took about 2.5 hours before he realized
oh, wow.
that his reaction, his response is what got him behind bars. And when he realized that, that's when, you know, everybody said, okay, we're done here. Now you got to go deal with your consequences. So
wow.
When I listen to people, especially people who want to fight feedback, no, I'm pissed because of the tone of your voice. No, I'm pissed because, you know, whatever, you broke the glass. Or no, I'm pissed because of that. I'm always curious about what is going on underneath the response and the reaction. Always. Mm. And it took me years to get here. And I'm here to tell you, the mom and me that raised my kids those early years completely changed. You know, I mean, I've had many apology conversations with my kids. I took accountability. I took responsibility with them. Like, hey, I screw up. You and I have had talks where I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is not at all what I meant. I was angry and defensive. That was mine. Let me get clear. Come back around. I've had that because, for me, if I don't pay attention to the feedback that my own response is giving me of, hey, you're suddenly six, you know, you're by the way, you want to pick a fight with Sherry and you actually are pretending like you're eight right now. Do you really want to have this
yeah.
argument? Like, that's a commitment. And that brings me to the last thing I really want to talk about. And that is the first word of the show is practicing, practicing curiosity with feedback is not a one-time thing. It is an ongoing practice. There's no end, there's no end destination. You don't get a degree that you hang on the wall. You don't get a, oh, done. You don't. Yesterday, and, you know, I kind of alluded to this, we had a time where we actually have it's a game. It's a game. It gives huge feedback. It actually very similarly follows my coaching. And it's a game that we play, and we are very intentional with the game because we don't play it as in, yeah, it doesn't matter. No, we approach that game as we are open to the feedback. Just like when I'm pulling cards and I'm doing intuitive readings, like, hey, everything in this game, we're going to receive you as feedback. We're going to consider you carefully. So please send us messages that directly apply to us so we can see how we respond. And if we're going to stay in curiosity about it or if we're going to go to conclusion. And we played that yesterday. We spent some good hours doing that. And I think it was really eye-opening for both of us. And now it's up to us what we apply to our lives. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yes, it was very good game. I had a lot of awarenesses in that game. And, you know, God, the universe, you know, they have your back. And when you try to push through, this is such a, I've got to say this. So my biggest feedback is slow down, okay? Put myself first and slow down. Stop doing. I mean, just this morning, I'm shredding papers, and the damn paper shredder, I'm, you know, trying to get stuff done, and I'm like, okay, I'll shred a little. The damn shredder machine jams, and it's not, it smells like I burned up the motor. By the way, I did, and I just checked it, but it's like, I come in and tell Jenny, and she's like, so, what's the feedback from that? I'm like, oh, I need to slow down, you know? So, anyway, it's very funny. And in the game, you know, this game is so powerful, and I've had it since, I think we saw on the box, March of 1997, and I used to play it all the time with friends back in Illinois. And, you know, I came to Texas, and Jenny's the only one I've played it with, which is quite interesting and another story. But you go through these different, you ask a question, you go through these different, you move through the board and get these wonderful feedback and awarenesses, and it got to a point where Jenny finished before me, and we always honor each of us to finish the process, no matter who goes first. But in my own my own feedback in the game, you know, is I was trying to go, I was doing it too fast, and guess what? I stayed where, you know, the game said, oh, hell no, you want some feedback? What's your feedback about this? And, you know, it just transpired and unfolded into this huge awareness of, you know, the feedback. What feedback am I giving myself regarding that? Slowing down, putting me, I'm just as important as everyone else. And it's my own crap about it. And was I really, am I going to get defensive and be in reaction? Well, you're done, so I'm going to quit. See how easy that is? You're done. I'm going to quit now. You're done. So we might as well. So make it about the other person. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to understand this. I want to understand this. I'm not saying it was a fun time for me, but there was some big revelations about just, you know, being in it and where it stemmed in from me and all the things that unfolded of that, of, you know, me taking the time and, you know, me reading the sentence in the first grade. I went back to there, which was really crazy, but Jenny was so great in asking questions, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is, I'm choosing not to do that anymore. I'm okay, and I can move through this, and I have a new awareness even now about feedback, whether it's from Jenny or from a game that's so powerful that we love. So that's what I have to say about it.
I love that, you know? And I'm fully aware that people who have no idea about the game or the process have no idea what the hell you just said. I mean, they kind of get it, but somebody is saying, what is it? It's not about the game. So what?
Yeah.
let me express it from what I just heard you say a different way and see if it's more clear. And that is, we played a game that we're open to receiving feedback from. What Sherry experienced was when I completed the game, Sherry's programming and all of her old stories ran amok within her head about you're not as fast as everybody. Now she's inconvenienced waiting for you. You need to hurry. You need to go fast. Don't do any of your detail stuff. Just hurry it up. Let's get it done. You're slowing everybody down. Are you done yet? And this is uncomfortable to be the focus of attention. Does that summarize it pretty good?
That's the bottom line. I was uncomfortable with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So see, we could have focused on the game. We could have focused on my process with the game. We could have focused on do you win or lose, which you don't in this game. You just keep progressing. But instead, we stayed curious to the feedback of the responses and reactions Sherry was having. And that's when she came to the realization that she was very uncomfortable with certain things. And like she said, one of them was a program from first grade. Okay? Very similar to if you go, like, run a race with groups of people. Say you've got five of you and you're doing some, you know, walkathon or some marathon or whatever it is. And people are going faster or slower than you. What's your response? I can't believe they left me. Oh, I'm not waiting for them. I got to get out. I'm not going that slow. I got to go my own pace. What's your response? Just go on ahead. Enjoy yours. I want to go slow. I want to look here. I'm going to take my time. I'm actually going to take a break right now. What is your response? How do you respond to that? Because that's feedback for you. That's where feedback is for you. Are you going to honor your own process? Or do you make the process of other people more important than your process? It's available to us all the time. This way of being in curiosity is something we can practice every minute of every day. Have you ever seen, say you're going to the grocery store, you come up to the front, the check stands are full, it's crazy, there's lines, and they open a new checkout line, and you and a dozen other people go, ah, finally, and everybody beelines for the line. What's your reaction if somebody noses their card in ahead of you? Are they an asshat, or do you go, yeah, look at us, we're all a little bit closer in line? Like, what's your thing? Is it judgment? Is it, what a jerk? Or is it, oh, I can't believe it. I was supposed to be there first. Oh, you know, do you watch your watch? Are you impatient? What's your response? That's your feedback. Because it's not about if it's a line in a grocery store or in traffic or, you know, what order the papers in school got handed out in. None of that matters. Where you can make changes is what's your reaction to that? What's it bringing up for you? Are you curious about it? Is it something you want to keep in place, or is it something you want to put changes in action for? That's the practice, and it's ongoing. I'm always practicing curiosity with feedback, always, because I know it's not an end destination. To me, is the overall invitation for the entire week's worth of shows coming up is, are you in curiosity with feedback? Can you be curious about it? There's so much to learn, and learning from our reaction to feedback is the first place I invite you to go. So Wednesday, I'm going to be back on. Sherry won't be with me. It'll just be me flying solo, but I'll be talking about the Akashic Records and the readings that I do and our reaction to things. And how we get in our own way instead of seeing it's a universal synchronistic message saying, I'm bringing this to your attention again. Are you going to do something this time? No? Okay. I'll bring it around again later. At what point do you recognize that the feedback is an opportunity for you? It's a possibility. It's a messenger, the juice. Like that to me, that gets me excited about being able to talk about this topic and connect with listeners about this and see where's your hang up, what's going on. Is there a certain area that you want addressed? Because this show is just the introduction. So send me a message on Facebook or on my website, jenhalterman.me, and I'll be addressing any questions. Sherry, do you want to say anything? We've got like 5 minutes to wrap up the topic. What do you want to say from your perspective? Is there anything you'd like to share?
Yes. I'm going to just share it from me. So how I notice feedback and what I'm practicing, because you invited people to practice with feedback, is when you hear something and it comes in your ears, I invite you to just stay between your ears. That sounds funny, but I'm practicing this and I want to share it, instead of how I would go up into my mind as the person is still talking and have something to say, just let it sit. Let them fully finish and make that sound, or take a nice breath and say thank you first before you respond to their feedback. Your feedback to their response, and I'm going to practice this week, and I'm going to say thank you. Take a breath in, either or breathe and say thank you. And I invite people to do that. Just play with it and see. See what, be curious about the change you feel in your body. Because I will, when I'm back on the air with you, whatever day that is this week, I think Thursday, I'll check in and say, hey, this is how it's going for me.
Right. Yeah, that's really awesome. I love that. Thank you for inviting everybody to join you in that. Just take a breath. Instead of feeling like you have to respond, take that time. I know we are so uncomfortable with silence anymore in conversations that sometimes people can get very impatient and like, I asked a question, just answer me, and it can turn into this push. But what if we recognize that in the silence between the words is when we can allow whatever it is that came in to float into gently and make connection with an awareness, instead of forcing into intellectual responses, going into emotional reactions, you know, checking in spiritually and checking out of our body in order to respond, whatever that is. But instead, we just stayed with it, stayed curious. And took a breath before you went to answer. Because in that breath, you give the opportunity for more than just your automatic response to trigger. There's more available when you allow yourself to not trigger auto response. Instead, you have presence and awareness, and you can make different choices, or you can make the same choice. It's not always about doing something different. You just might do something exactly the same, but with more presence and awareness with it. And there is beautiful, juicy magic in adding intention and presence and awareness to everything that we do. And so play with your feedback. Notice where you get, you can feel that. You get a little triggered. You pull your head back. Your shoulders tense up. Your heart shuts off. Whatever it is, like, where do you notice that? And is there an area of your life that topic is the no feedback zone? You're not open to it. You freak out. You get angry. You get defensive. Get upset because you have all your self-worth tied up in that. Untie it. Do your work. Let's see what we can do. And do this gently. Feedback can be gentle, my friends. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks, Sherry, for being here. I'm so glad we got to do the show together.
Thank you. Yes, me too. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. And you are so welcome. And if you're listening and you enjoyed the show, even if it's an archive, I'd love if you would share it. Share it with your friends in an email or through social media, whatever it is. It's the best compliment you can give us. All right, everybody, I will be back on Wednesday and going deeper into being curious about feedback and the Akashic Records. We'll talk to you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's cranial sacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. Bodywise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.